my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey everyone, welcome to episode 265 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsberger. Special guest co-host this week is Red Daniels of Stride Pro Wrestling. It is a wrestling under the influence. We will be drinking and talking and having some fun this holiday season. Hopefully you are listening and it is still the holiday season. If not, and you're listening to this in like April or something, I apologize for the Christmas references, but we are keeping December pretty close to Christmas themed. I'm hoping for wrestling in the 80s to do the same exact thing. And talk about something very nostalgic for me that is kind of Christmas related too. But we'll get to more on that on next week's episode. I do want to remind everyone to continue to support the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Greg Mahochko and his co-host Mike Luther are doing Nerds United every week right here. And then Greg and a host of co-hosts handle the Nebraska Cornhuskers football and athletics in general on the Five Heart podcast. Shout out, of course, to Chad Smart over the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network, a former part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network and still a good friend. And I believe he and I are going to be handling the Cinties this year, and I'm doing things different. So if you have your top five wrestlers of the year, let me know of 2019 and send them to me via social media, and we'll discuss and kind of rank and review. And I think I have not talked much more about this to Chad, so he'll be listening to this and hearing this as I say it. Probably going to stretch it out and find maybe do some decade long Cinti Awards, because I feel like the last 18 months or so I've not been watching enough of current wrestling, of all the different products and whatnot. So, but I can obviously talk on the last 10 years as a whole. So we'll talk more about that as the Cinties get a little closer. It'll be the last Monday in December, 2 weeks from today, if you are listening as the show drops. But otherwise, be sure to stick around. Red Daniels and I are going to drink and talk some Christmas memories in terms of one very special professional wrestler, superstar, whatever you would like to call him. Stick around, too, with Stride Pro Wrestling as the new year. We'll see some new events, including January 11th when we make our return to Carterville, Illinois. Check it out. More details at strideprowrestling.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts. So if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Hey everyone, we are at the Stride Pro Wrestling School, kicking back. Practice has just ended, and instructor Red Daniels is in the house, former Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion. Red, what's up, man?
How's it going, Kevin? I'm happy to be back. This is becoming one of my favorite things to do, man.
Yeah.
Trying to expand my world of beer bigger than the domestics.
Yeah, we're going to dive into some beer here in just a few minutes. And I want to, you know, last week on the show, Tyler and I kind of recapped
the big AAPW Resurrection show. Stride Pro Wrestling presents AAPW Resurrection. You were in the main event. You teamed up with Edmund Livewire McGuire. Talk to me a little bit about that, because you were a fan back in the day coming to the old AAPW show, so you actually saw Ed and kind of grew up watching him.
I did, yeah. My first wrestling show was when I was in the sixth grade, so I was about 12. And it's funny to tell a lot of these AAPW guys that, because they don't want to feel old.
Right.
Seeing me, I'm 28 now, and you know, wrestling. And I'm like, I saw you when I was 12. So, yeah, Ed was, you know, he was one of the coolest guys. And the cool thing about Ed was, like, he made every single person feel special. And I remember he, you know, came up to me and talked to me after the show. He, you know, it was MySpace days. He responded to my MySpace messages. I saw him in public a couple times and he talked to me. And every time I'd come to a show, he was always super supportive. And getting the opportunity to tag with him meant a lot to me. It was definitely – it was my top two moments in the professional wrestling business. As of right now, I had a really good time. And the show was really special for me just because, like – I grew up watching AAPW, and I really liked a lot of those guys, and especially Ed. So it was awesome.
And speaking of Stride Pro Wrestling as well, we are returning back here to the facility in Carterville on Saturday, January 11th. I saw part of the card. I guess it's the Stride Cup that's been announced. Didn't see your name in the Stride Cup, so what's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I'd like to think after pinning X 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring that, you know, Sam Hunter does the right thing and gives me my opportunity to take my belt back, because I kind of lost it under, you know, nefarious reasons anyway. I think 2-on-1 isn't fair. So I'm hoping that's what I'm doing. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't heard. I know I'm not in the Stride Cup, which sucks because I didn't win it last year. But I wasn't in it when it started last year either.
So you never that's know. True. You never know.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you ended up being the big winner there, coming back at Strideversary, which is coming up in March. We'll talk more about that as it gets closer, of course. But right now, the here and now, it is December. It is almost Christmas. And so I wanted to dedicate this month's Wrestling Under the Influence to a wrestler that has the Christmas spirit. Now, I thought about Santa Claus. Of course, that was a very short-lived gimmick. You were barely even born when Santa Claus was around. Do you even remember that?
No, I do not.
Okay, so Santa Claus, you know who he was, though?
No.
Okay, so Santa Claus was brought in by the Million Dollar Man back in 1995. It was like Christmas time. He wrestled Savio Vega, and I think that was one of his only matches. I think he might have had
three,
some squash matches, but it was Balls Mahoney. Was the man behind the beard, and basically he dressed, you know, he wore black and he had a black beard, and you know, he was the opposite of Santa, and was Xanta, X-A-N-T-A Claus. So that was a short-lived thing. And then Chad had reminded me of the horrible movie that is Santa with Muscles, starring Hulk Hogan. Have you seen that
not
movie?
Not Santa's Sleigh?
No, that's another one. That's
I love
Goldberg,
that movie.
Right?
That's a great movie.
Okay, so talk to me about that one, because I have not seen that
I've never seen
one.
Santa with Muscles or whatever. I don't know if I've ever really seen a Hulk Hogan movie. It was, you know...
No Holds Barred, I would recommend, but anything beyond that, I'm not
sure. What's
the
one with Undertaker in it?
Where Suburban Commando.
I've seen part of it. I got a gift once when I was younger, and it was Suburban Commando and, like, Mr. Nanny or whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, Santa Slays, it's a really good B-horror movie if you're into that. I'm really into it. So Goldberg, it says that the only reason that Santa Claus was ever good was because he lost a bet with like God and he was actually a demon.
Oh, wow.
And the year of that Christmas was the year it wears off. So he was coming to kill everybody instead of bringing him gifts. So it's kind of, you know,
is Goldberg Santa?
He is Santa Claus. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he spears one person.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember, but he definitely kills a lot of people.
Was this made during his WCW run, or was this after he left?
Post WWE even.
Oh, okay.
It might be 04. It might be in between the WCW and WWE, or it might be right after it.
Okay. That makes sense. So, who we are going to talk more in depth about is Mick Foley, who, of course, nowadays is known as Saint Mick. And I mentioned Chad earlier. A couple years ago, Chad got me a copy of the book, Saint Mick, and it's autographed by Mick Foley. It is one of my favorite things that I have autographed in the world of professional wrestling. And I'm in the middle of reading the book right now. I mentioned he bought it for me 2 years ago, and I've just not put the time aside to read it, and now that it is the Christmas season, I've picked it up and started reading it. So Mick Foley, of course, what are your early, and you know what, as we're talking here, let's pop these open, so we'll continue the conversation here. We are drinking, well, this says it twists right off, but it's not really twisting, is it? We are drinking Abita, I believe that's how you, I brought my Lucha.
I'm glad someone's prepared.
Bottle opener. Well, just in case. I wasn't sure how
we were. I've broken a lot of coffee tables trying to open.
So this is Abita or Abita. Abita, I think, is how you say it. But anyway, it's called their Christmas Ale, and they are based out of Louisiana. And you'll know that by looking at the bottle. It's got Santa in his sleigh being led by a group of alligators. And the bottle, which I found very interesting, says, each year the Abita Brewery, we craft a special dark ale for the holiday season. Then Papa Noel harnesses his team of gators and makes this special delivery. The recipe changes each year so that Abita Christmas Ale is always the perfect gift. So apparently if you had this last year, it's not going to be the same beer because they change it up. And I find that very interesting. I've not seen another beer that does it. I'm sure there are others that do. However, I find that kind of a unique quality. I'm looking at the bottle here too, and I'm not finding the ABV on here, but it is, as we mentioned, a darker ale.
Is it on the box?
Oh, you know what? Good call. Let's see.
I think they legally have to put it on here somewhere.
I thought they did too, but I am sure not seeing it.
Is it in the bottle?
It might be hidden somewhere, but maybe I'll look it up and see if I can find it online. But
yeah, really, that's crazy.
That is weird. I've not seen one that doesn't have it. Hopefully I didn't get the non-alcoholic version. But yeah, I picked this up in St. Louis over Thanksgiving break at a liquor store up there. And I think it was about $8 or $9. So it's a six-pack. Not too bad. It's got a nice smell to it. And it's actually, they say it's a dark ale, but it's actually kind of clear because we poured them into glasses here. And you can kind of see through the glass. So it's not as dark as you might think or expect a winter beer to be, but it certainly smells good. And like I said, I like the label. Mmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. What was the last one we had on here? Stone?
Did we have, we've actually, you and I have done several of these, and I think the last time around, did we do the Stone Brewery, Stone IPA?
I dropped one. I've had too much already.
Too much already.
Yeah.
Good thing you didn't pour it all. Yeah.
Here's some paper towels.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, I think, and you should probably just make me the permanent co-host. So.
Well, you know, our young friend Riser just turned 21.
My favorite person in all of wrestling.
And he and I have been talking for months now about doing a podcast, and I said, I'd love to have you on Wrestling Under the Influence, but you're not 21 yet, are you? And he's like, no. And so as soon as he turned 21, I messaged him and I said, we are going to do Wrestling Under the Influence. So January is spoken for, but yeah, we'll come back around in February,
since,
I'm sure.
Let's see if he listens. Tell me when it is, and I'll come in and interrupt the podcast.
I'll
do a run-in on the podcast.
A podcast run-in, which has happened before. Tyler's done it, and then Chad did it last week via the phone as I was talking to Tyler and interrupted us. So, but yeah, this is pretty good stuff. I like it. It's not. It's definitely, and like we said, there's no labeling on here as far as the IBUs or any of that good stuff. It's definitely not a bitter beer.
No,
and I would definitely. I would celebrate with this again in the ring, a post-match victory.
I'm trying to think of it's not citrusy.
It's got a familiar taste to it, and yeah, it's not citrus, but I'm thinking, let's look and see if the box provides any other clues. Food pairing. This brew's spicy character is excellent with a traditional holiday food like gingerbread or spiced nuts. Try with some blue cheese or creamy Camembert with The Abita Christmas Ale.
Yeah, I'm not that fancy. I'm not getting cheese with my beer.
Yeah, I don't know about that either, but they've been around since 1986. It's a good beer.
I've had a couple other beers.
I was going to say, you mentioned earlier that we had, or that you've had some other ones, and I know I have too, but they're blanking my mind right now. And is this the company that does the one you bought a while back with the Papa Shango looking guy?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
The Purple Haze. And that one's cool because it's got something floating around in it.
Oh, really?
It's got like some kind of sediment or something that's in it. I don't know what it is. This one, I don't see anything. This one, it's not super pungent. It doesn't have a big like an aroma for sure, but it's got a good flavor.
It's really a good flavor. It's not overwhelming, and again, it's that the clarity of it. It's good. We would definitely celebrate in the ring with Stone Cold with some of this for sure. But
yeah,
maybe not in the glass bottles.
Last year I had the Shinerbach holiday beers.
Yeah,
and I like this one more for sure.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, and I almost actually bought the Shinerbach, so I'm glad that I came across this. But yeah, so we're talking beer. We're also going to talk wrestling, and specifically Mick Foley, because of his love of Christmas. Which, you know, I remember Mick Foley when he first came into the scene, not the very early days. Although I do,
you were there when he jumped off his fridge. Or off his garage.
Yes. I remember watching, in hindsight now, going back and seeing he was in the WWF as enhancement talent against the British Bulldogs when they were either wrestling for the tag team titles or they may have been the champions by then. But I really remember him coming on the scene in like part of World Class and USWA as Cactus Jack Manson. And then Cactus Jack when he went to WCW and like 1990-91. Of course, this is all before Red was born. So obviously, I'm going to guess his Mankind run. Were you watching then, or when did you actually remember? Or was he already retired by the time you got into wrestling?
No, he was winning the title when I was getting into it. So he was Mankind. Okay. He was with Chainsaw Charlie and all that kind of stuff.
So you never knew the original Cactus Jack stuff, I'm guessing.
No, I didn't even. I barely saw Dude Love. Okay. Really. So I was more Mankind. And, yeah, not the brown Mankind. I've seen that going back.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember that. Like, bat boiler room brawls and stuff like that.
So you're more of the shirt,
yeah.
The shirt and the tie and
funny,
Mr. Sacco.
Yeah, hanging out with Mr. McMahon and This Is Your Life Rock and stuff like that. That's more of the Mick Foley. And then, you know, going back in like the mid-2000s, early 2000s and wrestling guys hardcore and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously fans know Mick Foley's pedigree. They know his background. He started off, you know, as Cactus Jack and was doing things pretty innovative and, you know, that we didn't they're more commonplace now, and I think because guys like Mick Foley paved the way. But jumping off that apron and dropping the elbow, and sometimes it was with a chair, and of course there was the incident against Big Van Vader in WCW where he lost his ear. Just a huge risk taker, and it's funny now to look at him, and the guy every year grows his beard out now, and he does the whole Santa Claus thing, and I find it almost ironic that somebody that was so brutal and such a bloodthirsty, you know, busting people open, the explosive matches with Terry Funk, the battles with Abdullah the Butcher, and then, of course, later The Undertaker, and we saw him in there, you know, that brutal match with The Rock at the I Quit match. But anyway, now he's this fun-loving Santa Claus character. It's so weird to see that transition. What are your favorite memories or moments revolving Mick Foley and his mini? What face of Foley, I guess, is your favorite of the four potential ones?
It's definitely the late 90s Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
When he started to actually be Mick Foley, but he was still Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely my favorite of the faces. And Cactus Jack, I feel like people are super fond of, you know, like, well, he had a feud with Hunter or Selmsley and stuff. That was okay. But
yeah.
I mean, his match with Edge at Backlash, no. After WrestleMania, I can't remember which one. That's Cactus Jack. But I'd say it's definitely the when he won the title and, you know, Austin helped him beat Rock and Rock and Sock connection.
Yeah. I remember because so we saw him at that WrestleMania. It was WrestleMania 22 when he wrestled Edge and they did the spot That's with it. The flaming yeah. table. That was pretty.
And then
pretty
he wrestled Orton after WrestleMania 20, right?
Yes. At WrestleMania 20, they wrestled in that five-man tag, I guess. It was Batista, Flair, and Orton against the Rock and Sock Connection.
Yeah. And then he wrestled
Yeah, they carried it on, yeah. But that was the thing, too, about Mick Foley was, those early days of Cactus Jack. Obviously, much more brutal style than what he was doing in WWE, but I don't think, I think fans probably remember that more fondly than he was. Send your hate tweets, I guess. He was mid-card at best in those days, I thought. I mean, he had a feud with Sting, but Sting went over the entire time. I never felt like in WCW he was going to go above a certain level, whereas in WWF, and I know it took some convincing from guys like Jim Ross and Bruce Pritchard or whoever else to Vince McMahon to get Mankind over. I thought it was a brilliant change of character in terms of the way they presented him, the music, the entrance music, and then the different music that played as he left, the whole character development, and really I think probably ended up being The Undertaker's toughest opponent. I think if you go back and look at the win losses, and I know I get it, it's all part of the act, but Mick Foley, Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, whatever incarnation he was, I really thought his WWF run was spectacular. And being in there, I liked those early days of Mankind when he came in and really just took it to The Undertaker from the start. And I remember him beating him at SummerSlam in 96 when Paul Bearer whacked The Undertaker with the urn in the Boiler Room Brawl. And from there on, I just felt like he just got this momentum. And I remember Survivor Series 98, he was part of the corporation and he was all dialed up and everybody thought, Vince McMahon was going to help him win the championship. And then I thought that was a brilliant angle as well. Loved that whole setup, that whole Deadly Games tournament. So what did you think of Mick Foley, though, as a champion, as WWE, WWF champion?
I mean, he did the job and, he played his part, but he was a placeholder for Austin to get, mm-hmm. He was never, even when he won the title, Austin's the reason that was such a big pop, which
yeah.
sucks for Mick Foley, but it's a cool moment. And I think it proved, it got him over, solidified his career. It's kind of cool how the thing with Tony Schiavone went over where he's, that'll put butts in the seats. And yeah. clearly it did, because that kind of catapulted them to, to the ratings win for the rest of the Attitude Era. So that's kind of cool. I think that Mick Foley's title run's more memorable, more important for all of the things that it meant for WWF more than it really is for mm-hmm. any great matches or anything that he right. had. And he needed to be there. He's the perfect foil for The Rock. What's more of a perfect opponent for the born for this, bred for this, 6'4", great yeah. body. No one can relate to The Rock.
Right.
So everyone can relate to Mick Foley because yeah. we all got a little bit of Mick Foley in us.
Sure.
And so that's what made his title run so great, because, he was – if Austin is the everyman, Mick Foley was even more of an everyman.
Yeah.
Because, people don't think about it. Mick Foley's 6'4" or something. He's a big guy. But when you see him, you could relate to Mick
yeah.
Foley.
Yeah. I mean, he's – the ultimate dad. He's walking around with the sweatpants and the flannel shirt, and yeah, you can picture him with his family. And I remember one of my favorite Hall of Fame ceremonies was the year that he went into the Hall of Fame. It was in 2013, and it was at Madison Square Garden, and that was the one and only time I've been to the Garden. And ultimately, I think every fan wants to see an actual wrestling show at the Garden.
And that's still on my bucket list, but being there for the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, because we were staying in New Jersey, because Mania was in Jersey that year, we had to get on a bus and get into the city, and it took forever. And we actually caught the tail end of Foley's induction ceremony, but we did make it, and that was special. I enjoyed that entire class. It was a very interesting and celebrated class, to say the very least. But you know, Mick Foley is just one of those guys that kind of goes away, comes back, goes away, comes back. What do you think? You know, Ric Flair in his book called him a glorified stuntman. I think there's much more to Mick Foley than just a guy that took the chair shots and threw his body on tacks and, you know, got tossed off of that Hell in a Cell that took everyone's breath away back in 1998. What do you think, though, ultimately, of Mick Foley?
So this is going to be a little bit of a hot take, but everybody wants to talk about the Ric Flairs and the, you know, Bret Harts and the guys who are quote and unquote really good.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, wrestling is not about your quote and unquote technique or your, you know, cause I'm using quotes because we both know what wrestling is.
Sure.
Wrestling is telling a story. Wrestling is the last true form of Shakespearean art. It's the only actual physical storytelling left on this planet. And Mick Foley's definitely one of the greatest ever because he can convey emotion to people by, you know, his actions, mm-hmm. using his body. If you want to call him a glorified stuntman, you can, but that just means that you don't want to take the ways that he did. And is you can say that, you know, oh, anybody can jump off of a, you know, off of a roof or whatever, but not everybody's doing it. And
yeah.
There was so much more to him. You know, he jumped off of a cell, or he got thrown off of a cell, and he came back, and then the next day he's on Raw, you know, and he's telling, and he makes you feel it, and he makes you care.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, as beautiful as someone can put a headlock on somebody, that's only so much in this business, you know, or however good your body is, that's only so much in this business. What matters is, can you relate to people? Can you drag something out of somebody? Can you make them care?
Yeah.
In the 5 minutes they get to see you, because most people decide if they like you within the first 5 minutes period. So, I mean, Mick Foley's definitely one of the greatest of all time. And if you disagree with that, you know, you might be working yourself because you're not looking at the whole situation.
I 100% agree with that. You know, Mick Foley is one of those guys who, while he was wrestling, I appreciated, but I did not have the level of appreciation and respect that I do today for him. And I feel like as I get older and you know, my fandom, I go back and I look at some of the guys that maybe while they were wrestling, I didn't you know, cheer them the loudest, or, you know, they weren't on my top five or whatever you may say. But Mick Foley, Mankind, you know, again, whatever you want to, the character, just the creativeness, and that also, I think my appreciation for him grew, about 20 years ago now. His first book came out, and, I loved it, and he is one of the few. This was when all of a sudden, you know, Mick kind of started the storm of wrestler autobiographies, and I read a lot of them back then. His was one of the very few that was, not only was it written exclusively by the performer, but he wrote it out in, you know, hand wrote it, and then it eventually obviously got typed up. But you know, I've mentioned the book right now that I'm reading, Saint Mick, and then of course he's had a nonfiction or a fiction novel, and then the children's book.
Yep.
He's just such a great writer, and I can hear his voice when I'm reading it, and he's just such a smart, articulate guy too.
Who was it who had a quote about it? Someone quoted him asking, "Why is your book so much better than mine? Your autobiography so much better than mine," or whatever, and he was like, "Why wrote mine?"
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was. I heard it on the Austin podcast or something. And I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if you just pay some ghostwriter for some money grab to, you know, sit down and talk to you for 10 minutes and write a book about you, it's going to suck.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, none of Foley suck because, you know, there's only one guy who has a brain like Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And it's him. And there, you could never have a ghostwriter do a book. You'd know instantly.
Yeah.
So that's why his books are so great, and that's why he told great stories in the ring, and he tells great stories on the page, and he's definitely one of the best of all time.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen we were talking about Santa Slay and Santa with Muscles earlier on. Have you seen
Mick Foley's documentary of sorts.
The Santa documentary?
Yeah, Am Santa Claus.
Yep.
I love that movie because it's on. It was on Netflix.
Yeah, that's when I watched
still,
it.
If it's still on there or not, but do yourself a favor this holiday season if you're able to find it and
watch
it.
I'm sure it's on iTunes or something.
It's just, and you don't have to be a wrestling fan, obviously, to enjoy this because it's such a, it's one of those, you know, you kind of get that peek behind the curtain when it comes to Christmas time and being Santa Claus and, you know, I'm trying to remember back. I don't necessarily think I would watch it with little kids that are still believers, but it is definitely worth the watch. And Mick Foley is just, you know, I'm not going to lie. There were parts in that where I actually cried because his family, it's just, it's awesome to see because we hear a lot of tragic stories about pro wrestling, you know, guys that took their own lives or died much too soon or lose their families or whatever the case may be. But, you know, Mick Foley is just that spirit. You know, I feel like he's that, like you said earlier, he's that everyman, but he's the underdog, but he's the guy that you want to see succeed. And when he does, you genuinely feel good for him when he does it.
Definitely. He's, you know, he's somebody you want to win, which in professional wrestling is a little rare because after someone wins the first time, people tend to not want him to win anymore.
Yeah.
That's kind of the trend nowadays. But he was someone who you could always root for and you always felt like he deserved it. He's someone who was probably one of the more harder working guys in the room, which is rare in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's definitely someone to look up to, someone that you probably don't think in professional wrestling is like a role model for guys growing up. Not a lot of guys go, I'm going to be the next Mick Foley.
You're right.
Maybe like Joey Janela or somebody,
yeah.
Dean Ambrose. But, I mean, he's definitely someone to see how he can use things and he can use, you know, different props or whatever to tell a story and convey where he's going.
Absolutely. One of the big influential guys in the world of professional wrestling for, I think, a lot of people that are coming up that you see on TV week in and week out. Any final thoughts on Mick Foley or this wonderful Christmas season, this Christmas ale that we are enjoying as well tonight?
I'm excited for Christmas. I'm not going to lie. This is like one of the first Christmases I can remember actually getting pretty excited for. And this beer is pretty cool. Mick Foley, yeah, I'd like to see him come back. I don't know if he has a contract or not. He was okay as the Raw general manager. I think he was put in a bad situation, especially when he brought out the 24/7 title and they booed. I don't know. Sometimes I think it might just be time to take some of those guys and keep them away for a while and use them for, you know, special things. If Christmas time, I would love to see him on a Christmas edition of Raw again or something. But Mick Foley's great, and he's definitely the greatest Santa Claus of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He put more commitment. He dyed his beard and all this. That's got to be awful.
That's what I love about the guys that do Santa Claus, the ones that are, like, legit growing
the
beard.
Through Santa College.
And doing it all, not just putting on the suit and a white beard and getting a payday. So, and do you remember a couple years ago when he came out and Alberto Del Rio, like, ran him over? And this was, like, during, you know, he's Santa Mick and he's coming out to the ring and then Alberto Del Rio is in his car and I think Alberto was a baby face at the time and it was kind of a weird scenario and a weird circumstance.
That sounds familiar. My favorite Mick Foley, was he Santa at one of the overseas Christmas shows?
I think so, yeah.
Austin involved in it too, or was Austin also Santa Claus or something?
I think Austin was Santa Claus one
that's,
time.
I remember
well.
That one and I remember that, I do remember what you're talking about with on Raw. Where it was really weird because you didn't even know it was Mick Foley. When
right
got
at
hit.
First, yeah, yeah.
That's weird. God, wrestling was so bad.
Wrestling is yes, and you bring up Tribute to the Troops, and yeah, there were so many through the years. You know, I can remember back way back. This was before you were probably. Your parents probably weren't even together at this point. It was like 85, 86, and. Santa Claus comes out to help the Von Erichs celebrate on World Class, and they beat the Santa Claus clotheslines Mike Von Erich and pile drives him, and then takes the beard off, and it's Michael Hayes.
Ah,
so you know,
dude.
You would occasionally see the nefarious Santa, and then you know, unveil himself, and it's you know, Michael Hayes. Or I remember at Survivor Series '92, It was the night before Thanksgiving, but Bret Hart wrestled Shawn Michaels, and this was Bret was the world champion, and Shawn was the intercontinental champion. And Santa Claus comes out at the end because Bret wins. It's a good feel-good babyface moment, and I kept waiting for Santa to attack, but he never did. He raised Bret's hand, and they celebrated. So those are a few Santa stories, Christmas stories. But Dan, I want to or Red, I want to thank you for being a part of the show. Wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll figure out some more beers to try in 2020 and have some more podcasting opportunities. But I wish you the best of luck in 2020 as you pursue Axe Allwart and the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight title. It's good to have you back. It's been almost a year that you've been back now.
I know. I'm excited. I'm just happy that people still want to see me a year later. Hopefully they do at least. It's been crazy. I can remember looking back at, God, it's probably been almost been a year since we did the interview about coming back.
Yeah.
And about how I didn't want to come back. And then, who knows, I probably wouldn't have stayed back if the fans didn't want me back. So that was cool.
It's always good to be wanted or feel wanted.
It's true,
right?
Especially after people cheered when you got thrown in grave and buried.
That is true.
Couldn't be much of a difference there. I don't know. I'm happy to be with Stride, and I'm happy to be wrestling, and I'm really thankful for everything I have in my life this Christmas. So hopefully everybody at Stride has a good one, and it's been a good time.
Hey, I want to thank Red Daniels for being a part of the show, and I want to thank all of you for listening, sharing, getting the word out about my 1-2-3 cents. I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I want to thank everyone who also donated to the Stride Pro Wrestling My 1-2-3 Cents Wrestling Action Figure Toy Drive. Of course, not as big and as spectacular as the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Drive, but there were some very dedicated folks out there who spread their love of wrestling, and we're able to do that now with the Toys for Tots program in Southern Illinois. So thanks again, everyone, for being so supportive, and we will talk again next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.